Welcome back to another episode of The Good, The Bad, and The Backlog, the podcast where we go through our backlog one game at a time and talk about it each week. I'm your host, Adam, and today we are joined, as always, by the musically gifted, the five-time Grammy Award winner, and current reigning prom king of San Diego High. He's singing Sure Lloyd by Sure Lloyd, That's Disgusting, Kieran.
Hello. That's me. I've got all that written down on my CV, so potential employers out there, check me out. I will sing Cher Lloyd by Cher Lloyd to you, and I will not even flush the toilet.
Oh God, I love those girls.
It's truly timeless.
I had to Google who Cher Lloyd was, and then I eventually found the song that she was trying to sing. So I'm trying to teach myself to sing that song so I can recreate the video.
The actual song.
Yeah.
That's so good. You just kind of hope when you start singing it that some Scottish woman just appears behind you. Like, which one of yous?
Which one of yous don't know how to flush after you've taken a shit? So every time I go to the toilet now, I make sure I don't flush just so that woman will show up.
Yeah, just a big pile building up now in the bottom of the toilet.
Oh my God. Where did we go wrong with this introduction?
I know, man. This is really not the best way to go, but hey-ho.
I don't know. I think we've outdone ourselves.
I think so. It's going to be hard to top this.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Away from Cher Lloyd by Cher Lloyd.
Yeah, let's move on. So, little update. We should now be, well, we are now on Apple Podcasts, also on Spotify, and we are also on Stitcher and iHeartRadio and Google Podcasts. So we are available now in all of those places, and hopefully you're listening to us on one of those, or, you know, just hopefully you're listening at all. So that would be nice.
Yeah, and if you are following on any one of these, give us some 5-star ratings and we will send you bags of stale imaginary popcorn.
I thought you were just going to leave it at bags, because bags is an Australian lingo for drugs. So, because you know how like drugs sometimes come in little baggies?
Little baggies. Just give you some stale bags.
Yeah, yeah. So when you say bags in Australia, it means drugs. Be like, share a bag, love.
Oh man, I better not offer to give out free bags then. Yeah. In case the Australian police are listening, I think they might come and get me.
I think they're already aware of you for other things, but yeah. let's move on.
That massive pile of shit that I refuse to flush.
That's exactly why. All right, so what have you been doing this week? Let's keep it brief. I've gotten a little bit of criticism for us talking too long in the beginning, and
criticism, schmitticism.
Yeah, I don't care. Let's hear what you're up to, or what you've been up to this week.
Well, I mean, most of my days I have just been like going to work, so it's nothing fun. But I have been playing the game that we've been playing for this week. I'm actually on my third playthrough of it now, so that's kind of that's what's been taking my time. Otherwise, I have just been doing very boring stuff, really. Reading and meditating. I haven't been meditating, that's a lie.
Well, there's nothing wrong with meditating. I meditate sometimes.
Do you?
I sleep meditate, so I listen to
Does that count?
Actually, it probably doesn't. It's because it's like,
I feel like that is actually just sleeping.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the start of it is like meditating, because I find it easy to fall asleep when I'm listening to those things, because it's like, now breathe in and out. Imagine you're being surrounded by white light. Imagine that your parents loved you as a child. Like all this fucking random stuff.
Imagine.
Because they
that would have been nice.
Yeah. So that part of it helps me fall asleep. And then whatever the hypnosis part of it is afterwards, who knows if it works or not, but
well, if you manage to fall asleep, then it's obviously doing something right.
Yeah,
well, I went on a 10k run this morning, and I'm
wow,
My knees are cranky at the moment. I need to get on the foam roller and iron out the pain.
Cool.
I just want everybody listening to know that I'm in pain at the moment.
Yeah, it's probably deserved, but congratulations on your 10K run. I normally can't last that long. I'm more of a sprinter, not a marathon runner.
Get you.
Yeah. I know, thanks. And it's normally to get away from people. So
yeah, fair enough. Yeah. With your bags.
Yeah. Gotta get out of here. Got my bags. Oh, God. Yeah. Don't do bags, but...
Yeah, don't do bags.
Let's continue. All right, my week, nothing to report, so let's just move on with the game.
Fair enough.
All right. The game, yes, for this week, as discussed in the last podcast, is, of course, Shadow of the Colossus, the spiritual sequel / actual prequel to Ico, also made by Team Ico and SCE Japan Studio, Sony Computer Entertainment, and directed, of course, again, by Fumito Ueda, the guy who was so artistic that all of his creations are... immune from criticism. So
they are artistic. They are true works of art, Adam.
Yeah. Before we get started, I just want to say that the last episode, I ripped into Ico quite a lot, and some people didn't agree with me, but I stand by what I say about it, because I'm coming at it from the perspective of being a consumer and not a critic. So... I'm going to give my opinions regardless of how I know that people are going to react to it, because I'm talking about the way that I feel when I'm playing it, and you don't have to agree with me.
Well, actually, you're wrong, and your opinion is stupid, and because of that, I'm actually going to kick you off the podcast and find someone else, because unacceptable.
I knew that was coming.
Yeah.
But it shouldn't make anybody love the game any less because of what some idiot on a podcast says about a game that they really enjoy. So get over it. That's what I want to say. Yes, and having said that, I've got a few negative things to say about the Shadow of the Colossus as well. So let's get into it. How about you go ahead and give us what the setup is and the concept for Shadow of the Colossus.
Okay, so Shadow of the Colossus, where do we begin? So you are this chap called Wanda who's venturing off into the Forbidden Lands with a girl who is very dead, and he has the goal to bring her back to life somehow. He speaks to this magical entity and be like, "Yo, dude, I need to bring my girl back. How do I do it?" And he gets the challenge of slaying all the beasts in the area, and this dude is like, "We'll see what happens." And that's the game, everybody. Thanks for tuning in.
Cool. All right. Thank you. So for the next podcast, we'll be talking about... I should also say the game originally came out on PlayStation 2 in 2005. And it was also re-released with the Ico and Shadow of the Colossus collection on PlayStation 3 in 2011. And then got another re-release and a high-definition remake for PS4. Which came out on 2018 and was a free PlayStation Plus game as of a couple of months ago. So hopefully if you're all PS Plus members, you should already have this one. You've probably played it. If not, it's on your backlog. We played it. So listen up, because we got stuff to say.
And both games, both the remaster and the remake, were both done by Bluepoint Games. Seems to be the kings and queens of remakes and remasters at the moment.
I think they do a pretty damn good job of it, too.
Absolutely, yeah.
I played it originally on PS3 way back when, back in 2011, and then gave up after the third Colossus, and then replayed it on PS4 last week. And I've got to say that the graphical upgrade in the PS4 version is stunning the opening cinematic is jaw-dropping and really sets the stage. So I was very excited about giving this one another go.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. I was I originally played it on PS2, but I only got to Colossus number 4, and I got stuck on it, and I just never went back to it. So, and I haven't played it since. So, yeah, I've been playing on the PS4 version as well. And I did, just a few days ago, I tried out the PS3 one just to check the controls and stuff and see what it was like. But yeah, PS4 one, it's very, very pretty looking. Graphics are all delicious.
I love the environments. Those rock faces look very textured.
Oh, those grassy plains. Those lovely slopes.
Those hills, those valleys, those nooks and crannies.
Those occasional eagles.
Yeah, so I finished the game on PS4 on easy mode. And then I went back to the PlayStation 3 version to see how that was. And then I played that on the standard difficulty, which was normal. So you don't get a choice of difficulty when you start on the PS3 version. And then after that, I went back to the PS4 version and then tried to play some of the time attacks on hard and rage quit. So, yes.
Yeah, well, I with the PS4 one, I played through the first time on normal, then I played through again on normal. I did each of the time attacks on normal. I did all of those. And then at the moment, I'm like almost finished with a third playthrough on hard. And I tried a few of the time attacks, and they are a lot harder because they add more vital points, which we'll talk about a bit. So, and the time limits are pretty damn tight on some of them. So it is rage-inducing for sure.
I definitely felt like I've had enough of this and I don't want to go back to it. But so for those of you at home who have played Shadow of the Colossus, or who haven't played Shadow of the Colossus rather, the basic formula for the gameplay is that you... So in the introduction, you talk to Dormin, who is this spirit who says that if you go off and kill these 16 colossi, he will bring your dead girlfriend back to life. So basically, that's like the majority of the game is you as Wanda hopping on your horse called Aggro and then going off to find each of the colossi one by one. You find one, you kill it, you're automatically transported back to the temple. The statue which represents the colossi crumbles, and then Dormin will tell you to go after the next one, gives you a slight clue, and then off you go again to find it. You kill that one, rinse and repeat 16 times in a row. There's not much else to the game except I guess you can explore the environment, which is pretty vast and open if you like, but there's not much there to find other than shrines and some fruit. But... it's kind of barren, and it's intentionally supposed to be barren.
Yeah, there's a lot of features there, like broken buildings or remnants of a lost civilization.
Yeah,
it's kind of like a you don't really know the age of this place, but just from judging how everything has been eroded away, that it's like thousands of years old, probably.
Yeah, and at least in the PS4 version, it's really, I don't want to say it's interesting, but it's nice to go and explore and see these really pretty visuals that you have. But when I went back and played the PS3 version, it's not nearly as pretty to look at. So exploring it didn't really have as much of a payoff because there's not much to see.
Yeah, I do think that because the PS3 is basically just a shiny PS2 version, that it doesn't look so good. But some parts look amazing. I think the colossi still look damn good, considering it was PS2 era.
Yeah.
They were definitely pushing the capabilities of the console.
Yeah.
And I know that was to the detriment of the frame rate and the actual like running proficiency. But PS3 runs really well, frame rate's pretty good. Graphics. All right. But yeah, not perhaps up to par with many other PS3 games at the time.
Yeah, so Shadow of the Colossus is one of those games which is always heralded as being a masterpiece and the perfect game, and like the artistic value and merit of it far outweighs any of the potential criticisms you might have. Although looking back at it, the big standout for the game and the reason why I think it's so well loved is because of the colossi and the sheer scale of them, and like for the time when this game came out. And even for today, like you still don't see, you know, much on this level of scale, especially to the point where you as a character are climbing up colossi to try and find weak points. But, you know, that whole thing is why this game stood out so much back when it was released on PS2, and it's easy to see why. So even in the PS4 version, it is incredibly impressive.
Yeah, because from just like the base outline of the game, you think, well, this is just another Monster Hunter style game where you just go and kill a monster and that's it. But the way it's done, the way that each colossi have or has a completely different way that you need to take it down, and very different mechanics to any other game, does make it stand out quite a bit.
Yeah, it's so the genre is supposed to be action adventure slash puzzle, or at least on Wikipedia it also says kaiju, so didn't realize that was a genre. But I kind of consider it more like almost a straight puzzler, and or even platformer. And the reason for that is because the colossi themselves, you're not necessarily battling an enemy. You are solving a puzzle to, one, get up this colossi to find the weak points, two, holding on long enough and learning the patterns of the colossi to not fall off in order for you to find the opportunity to take out these weak points, and then three, maneuvering from the first weak point to the second weak point, and, you know, etc. So there is like a process to get to each of the weak points, and then that in itself becomes the puzzle. So it feels like less of an adventure and more of a puzzle or a platformer type of game to me.
Less of an adventure, but it's definitely action. It's definitely an I think action puzzle platformer would be the perfect description, because it is definitely very platformy at times.
Yeah, it's definitely got like a very cinematic feel to it, even down to the points where you're just running on your horse or galloping on your horse from the temple to the next colossi, because they like shift the camera off center, so you get to see like the vast landscapes and world that you're in more so than having the character take front and center in the screen.
And that works for the most part, especially when you are on the wide open plains, because I guess the barrenness of the actual land means you don't really have anything to look at so much. But when you have these broad open shots, it is quite nice to see everything in the distance.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's, I don't know many other games that really do this sort of thing. Well, I mean, I guess there is quite a lot nowadays with these huge open worlds, but it's still a very distinctive world, the fact that there is nothing there.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like, there's plenty of open world games out there, but those ones tend to have things in them, other than colossi. So
exactly.
One of my criticisms for the game is I tend to, the tedium of going after each colossi one by one gets a little, like it grates on me a little bit. I wish there was something else in there other than just that, because it feels a little shallow.
I think it was fine the first playthrough. After that, like, you don't get anything else from doing another playthrough, really. There are things, but it's kind of like, why can I not just click X on the statue and fight it in the shrine, just like in the time attack, instead of going out of my way to get them? It's a little bit of a nuisance, but it's not a huge deal, because once you know where to go, it doesn't take too long. Although, that said, even on my third playthrough, I still ended up going the wrong way sometimes to get to a colossi. And especially because the control of the horse is a bit fucking stupid at times.
All right, let's save our criticism of the controls in a minute.
I had to mention it, man. It was annoying me.
I don't want to shit on it too badly just yet. But we will. Yeah, my issue is that the game itself is not very long. Like, I think I played it and finished it in about 4 hours and 55 minutes, my first playthrough on easy. And then that was mainly just for me to learn where the colossi are and what their patterns are. And then when I played the PS3 version, I think I finished it in 4 hours, because I knew where to find them and how to beat them.
Yeah, my first playthrough was, I think, maybe like 5.5 to close to 6 hours. And
yeah,
I played on normal, but I did spend quite a bit of time looking around, I found all the shrines, I got a few of the lizards, and I pretty much got all of the fruit as well.
Yeah. So I couldn't be bothered with that.
Even with that, though, it only added like an extra hour, 2 hours onto the fighting. Like, the rest of it was Colossi hunting and finding, and fighting. Yeah. But I was actually pretty surprised by how short. I guess when you think that it is just 16 Colossi and there's not really much else, then sure, it's not going to take too long. But it felt okay being that short to a degree. I guess having the game for free doesn't make me feel bad about a short game.
Yeah, true. I think I'm in two minds about it, because on the one hand, at some point I was like, oh, 16 of these things, like I've got another like 10 to go, Jesus Christ. And then on the other hand, I was like, okay, that was a short game, and now that I've finished it, I really don't feel like playing it again. I don't feel like I would get anything more out of it. And this game is, it seems like it's specifically designed to be a game where you're supposed to play it multiple times, and it's supposed to satisfy the itch for the people who really like time attacks and that kind of stuff. Yeah. Like replaying the same bosses, trying to get a better time score. But I'm not one of those people. And the people who I spoke to who also own this game gave up after, I wouldn't say they gave up, they finished the game for the first time and they never returned back to it because there was no real reason for them to. There's no bonuses or anything like that to get them to do another playthrough.
I'm in two minds, because when you do the time attacks, you, after every two Colossi, you get an item or a reward.
Yeah.
So, like, you get a sword that will, you know, increase the damage you do on the Colossi. Then you can get a cloak that will make you invisible. Some of these other items that can just make the fighting a whole lot easier, or exploring easier, or something. Like, one of them means you can find the hidden lizards easy when you're close.
Yeah.
And although they aren't drastically amazing items, they do make it quite satisfying to play. And I quite like the fact that because you can just jump on in and do a Colossi whenever you want. I mean, you could play this game for 15 minutes if you wanted to. So
yeah,
it's like you don't have to play it for hours on end. You could easily just play through the entire game in one session. Or if you just want to place it out over a few weeks, whatever, just jump in, do a Colossi, turn off, do something else. You could easily do that too. And that's kind of what I like about it. But I also agree, I don't feel like... It's definitely catering for those speedrunners, perhaps trying to get like the quickest pace time you can, and that's not really my cup of tea. I'm not into that at all.
I could see with the time attack items that you unlock how that would be a reason to keep playing. Like for me, it comes down to like if I was invested in this game enough, I would be playing it to get the platinum trophy.
Yeah.
If we didn't have like other games to play coming up. And then that would give me a reason to do the time attacks and, you know, unlock all the items and all that other stuff. But I kind of feel like once you've unlocked the items, you're still fighting the same 16 bosses over and over again. I kind of wish that there was like a secret super boss or something, like they have in RPGs all the time.
Yeah. Something worth doing all this extra playthrough to work towards.
Yeah, exactly.
As far as I can really tell, there isn't anything else that you're working towards except for the fact that your stamina and health is increasingly getting bigger. So after each Colossi you kill, I think your health and stamina increases. So each playthrough, this just adds up to a max value eventually. And there's a secret that in the big main shrine where you kind of start, there's a hidden garden at the top and also a huge bridge like the one that you came in on in the intro cutscene. Once you've played enough, your stamina, it gets big enough that you can climb up this tower to that point and get to these secret areas and go back across the bridge to the entrance to the Forbidden Lands. And you can't do anything. You can't leave. There's nothing to do in the garden. I haven't got it yet. I don't think I've got the stamina for it. Both in-game
or
out-of-game.
Yeah, I think
you
need to beat the game like 5 times to get that level.
Yeah, it's a bit mad, really. That is some kind of determination. And it's determination for nothing other than just visual satisfaction, I guess. which you could also get from just watching it on YouTube. True. So, fair enough, if you climb this thing and then you get to the top of the tower and you find there's a 17th Colossi there, which is going to give you a huge answer to the ambiguous quest and storyline. But no, there's nothing.
Yeah. Given our reception to Eco last week, and now with Shadow of the Colossus, it's a very similar issue that I have with both of them, which is like the player doesn't really get much of a payoff to try harder or go further or replay. Like, you don't really get anything for doing it. And that kind of bothers me because, like, in JRPGs and RPGs in general, there's tends to be like a super boss or something. Like, you can always max out your character to like level 99, but the main story bosses will never be that strong to warrant you to do that. But there's always a hidden secret boss somewhere that you need to be like max level to take out. And I just wish that they had something like that here, like post game stuff other than a time attack.
It would just make all the playthroughs and leveling worth it.
Yeah.
It would make it worthwhile.
I want something for my effort. That's the thing.
Yeah. But saying that, I still would kind of love to work towards that platinum trophy. It doesn't seem that hard. I feel like I could do it quite easily.
I would too, because it doesn't seem that hard either. Granted, I did rage quit, but I jumped from easy mode to hard mode. So that probably has something to do with it.
But yeah, time is of the essence right now.
Yeah. And I let's get into our irritations, because the reason why I don't want to play again is directly related to my problems with the game.
Okay, well, I guess that lies in the mechanics of the game mostly.
Yes.
You kind of have the two main things you'll be doing. One will be riding your horse, and the other will be fighting and climbing. So, which one shall we start with?
Look, they're all equally irritating in their own ways. Let's start with the horse, because the PS3 version compared to the PS4 version, especially when it comes to your horse, irritated the shit out of me. Because the differences between the versions are the button mapping is also changed.
Yeah.
Did you notice that?
Yeah, it's like it wasn't triangle jump. I did notice it. Like, R1 was climb and... Yeah.
So it was like all... It was switched all over the place, and having come directly from the PS4 version, then trying to play the PS1 version, PS3 version, I thankfully, they let you change the button mapping. So I actually went in and changed all the button mapping to the PS4 button maps, so I could play the same way.
Nice.
But even after doing that, you're like, you have your horse aggro, you press a particular button. I think in the PS4 version, it's triangle. I switched in the PS3 version to be triangle as well. And then you press that to mount your horse. The collision detection in the PS3 version, when you're trying to get on your horse, is so frustrating because you have to be like perfectly still. It is so irritating. You call your horse over with the same button, then you stand there and you press it again, and he doesn't get on the fucking horse. I'm just like, for fuck's sake, get on the horse! Like, it was so irritating. Which also is effing frustrating when there are these colossi where you need to use your horse to run alongside to jump up onto the colossi. And if you miss that jump and then your horse is there and you've got this colossus, which is like digging under the ground, coming at you and going to jump at you, and you're there trying to get on your horse, but you can't mount the horse because you're not perfectly still. It's so frustrating.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
It's your turn.
The difference of the PS3 and PS4 was noticeable. However, I didn't find the PS4 version particularly annoying that much. And especially when I was actually fighting the Colossi, the ones where you had to be on the horse or jump from the horse, like largely it went okay.
Yeah, I found it much easier in the PS4 version as well.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. And it's actually interesting, because when you have to navigate the little pathways through the cliffs and stuff, I found it a whole lot easier when I realized that you could just hold triangle and the horse just goes forward and kind of does the navigating for you, so you don't have to guide it. Because if you try and guide it, it will just sprint into a wall and sometimes just jump or turn around. And then you try and turn this goddamn thing around. The turning circle is outrageous. I guess that they've tried to create a sort of realism.
Yeah. It's annoying because you, regardless of where the camera is in relation to where you're facing, the left and right joystick pulls on the reins left or right. So you can be looking front on at you and your horse, and you have to reverse your controls in order to get it to turn the way that you want it to turn. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's rein controls, kind of, yeah.
It's almost like being back playing Resident Evil. Like, it's almost like tank controls in a way.
Yeah. I didn't mind them, really. They worked fine, I thought.
Oh, well, fine. But it bothered me. Especially when you're stationary somewhere, like on a small cliff or in a narrow corridor, and you're trying to navigate with this stupid horse, and then also it takes forever for the horse to actually get up to a decent speed.
Yeah, it's 0 to 60 is like fucking 10 minutes.
That poor horse, if it was a real thing, because I kept jamming my heels into its ribs so hard trying to get it to move, and it wouldn't fucking run.
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely takes a pounding.
Yes.
But to be fair, that horse is absolutely massive compared to Wanda. It's a very giant horse.
I read this thing that apparently in comparison to the horse, it would make Wanda 120 centimeters tall.
Okay, so Wanda's very small.
Yeah, it's like a meter and a fifth.
Yeah, it's like 4 feet, probably less.
Yeah, I don't know what that is in...
Wait, a foot is 30 centimeters, so 30, 60, 90, yeah, 4 foot.
4 foot, okay. I only do metric because I'm Australian, so I don't know about that, like heights and stuff.
It's probably smart.
Yeah, I don't know. It's 120 centimeters
Wanda
tall.
Is very small.
Yeah. to put it in perspective, I am 184 centimeters tall, so I'm a lot taller than Wanda.
You could just drop kick Wanda.
Yeah, he would be the height of one of those pygmies from like Papua New Guinea or something. You know, the ones that the skeletons were found of all those years ago.
Yeah, and also, you could probably just bypass half of the things you have to do with the colossi to get them to kneel down and stuff, because you could probably just reach up and just pull yourself up. You know, you wouldn't have to knock them on the floor.
There's actually these really small colossi as well, and if you take Wanda's height into consideration, if I was actually there, I wouldn't have to jump. I would just, like, stab it with my sword running past.
Just reach over.
Yeah.
It would just be like the matadors.
Yeah. It would be like me stabbing a German shepherd with a sword. Which I have done before, and it worked really well.
Yeah, it's very effective. That's not true. To any German shepherds listening, we have not killed any for quite some time.
I mean, it was self-defense, and I was hungry, so no, it didn't happen.
So, should we go on to the fighting controls now?
Let's...
Have we done with the horse?
I think I'm done with the horse. I don't have any other petty arguments about the horse.
Okay. Well, we'll move on from that. Okay. So, the fighting and climbing are basically all the same. There is no fighting. That's a lie. So, you're basically climbing up the colossi. And I think the biggest difference to most games is you have a grip control, which is where you're... where your stamina meter comes into play. And in the PS4 version, R2 is grip, and I think in PS2 it's R1 if you kept it normal.
Yeah.
And you kind of have to you can only grip onto certain things. This is what annoyed me when there were a few times you play and you go to jump onto a ledge and you hold down the grip and you just don't grip, even though it's like a flat edge which you could clearly grip onto. But it led me to falling off things quite a few times early on in the game.
Yeah.
It's very annoying.
It's so frustrating when you fall off of things, especially when you're on the Colossus yourself and you're trying to jump to where the seal is, or the sigil. So all the colossi for those who haven't played it, have these seals with that are basically the weak points where you have to stab your sword. And when you're on there, like, you go to, like, the camera. This complaint is twofold. So my main complaint is the controls while you're holding on to the colossi and trying to climb them. And in conjunction to that is the camera, which has a mind of its own and keeps sort of like pulling out to the point where you can't tell the distance between Wanda and the ledge that you need to jump onto. So I made a lot of leaps of faith trying to get from like one side of the colossi to the other, or to latch onto a ledge that I thought you were supposed to latch onto, or, you know, what have you. And I would fall off. And the irritation from that is because beating the colossi, the whole deal with that is you have to climb up it to get to the weak point. Every time you fall off, you have to start again. And it's this whole process that you have to do over and over again to trigger the colossi to bend down or lean over or bend over or spread them cheeks or whatever they have to do for you to get there. You have to, like, do that all over again.
It gets increasingly annoying because, as you'd expect, well, not always, but sometimes the colossi gets more difficult as you go on, or bigger as you go on, so it's more of an effort to get to the sigils, to hit the weak points, do the damage.
It's time-consuming.
Especially the last one, but it is time-consuming. Yeah. And, yeah, you do get used to it the more you play it, but getting past that initial frustration is hard. And there were many times where if I was alone in my house, I would have just screamed at the TV, like, ugh! Very frustrating.
I love it when people scream at the TVs.
I think I just did silent screams, you know, opening my mouth and imagining a scream come out.
Just do what I do and lay on your bed, put the pillow over your face and just scream into it like,
I pretty much just go for the whole, like, holding the controller really tight and squeezing it in rage.
I am glad the PS4 controllers are sturdy enough that, like, my death grip doesn't break them.
Because yeah.
There have been times that I've been so pissed off.
I need a steel toe-capped controller.
Yeah.
Reinforced.
Yeah, so while you're climbing up this colossi, you constantly have to hold down the R2 button, which, I don't know, it didn't hurt my finger or anything, but just the tension in my hand from having to constantly hold it down, I think added to my aggravation.
Yeah.
And the moving camera, like, I don't know if this is true or not, but the direction you're pressing on the joystick to move in a certain direction, I don't know if that's in relation to the camera as well, because I had times where I'm like, move left, you idiot, move left, to, like, climb up the hair and the colossi, and it felt like he was going in the wrong direction. I'm like, what the fuck is happening here?
Yeah, I never really understood the camera. It seemed to have a mind of its own half the time. And the biggest issue was that sometimes it kind of got stuck on an arm or a leg or something, and you couldn't really see where you were climbing. Mm-hmm. That got a bit irritating.
Yeah, there's this one where you have to swim underwater to get behind a colossus, and I kept trying to go between its arm and, like, under its armpit, because there was a space there, and then every time I would try and swim under there, which should have been a straight shot, the camera would just flip out and then, like, get super close to Wanda to the point where I couldn't even see which direction I was facing anymore. It was just so annoying.
That's strange. Yeah, I didn't have too much issues with that, but there were definitely other ones where it was just very, very annoying. And yeah, just kind of hard to understand. You never really knew when it was about to flip out.
Yeah. Having said that, though, like, I liked the game overall.
yeah, absolutely. It's a good game.
We are, to a degree, nitpicking, but I did rage quit over this because I fell off of the third Colossus in hard mode, and there are three sigils to get, and I got the first two, fell off after each one that I got, and then by the third time I fell off, I'm like, I'm done with this. I can't fucking stand this anymore. Like, I just rage quit.
I actually had trouble with the third one too. Not in the sense of falling off the Colossus. I fell off the bridge, like, when you're going up to it.
Oh my god.
This one's raised off the ground, and there's a jump you have to do. And for some reason, I just couldn't catch it. Like, there was a particular part of this thing that you had to grip onto that I couldn't grip, and for some reason, I just kept on falling, and then you got to swim back to climb the staircase. I had to YouTube it because I was just like, I didn't have a clue what I was doing wrong.
Oh my god, I have a confession for you.
Yeah,
that part that you just described is exactly why I stopped playing the PlayStation 3 version, because I got to that point and I kept trying to jump to that ledge and latch on, and I kept missing it, and I was like, oh, okay, I don't understand how I'm supposed to get up here then. And so I gave up for months, and then I replayed it, looked up how to get on there, got on there, beat the third Colossus, and then I was like, I'm done. I'm done. This is annoying now.
Yeah.
And I wonder if the third... I mean, I did some Googling in my private time, and and then I read that a lot of people find the third Colossus difficulty spike to be quite jarring or like in your face. So I wonder if that's the point where a lot of people may have fell off from continuing.
Maybe.
Yeah, that's definitely where I fell off in the PS3 version when I played that years and years ago.
Yeah, no, I didn't have too much issue, but I feel like that one's probably been... It's like often used as one of the key colossi to kind of highlight this game, where you see them running up the sword, jumping onto the wrist. Yeah. So I think from that, I kind of had an idea what to do. Number four was the one that fucked me off the first time, and I gave up just because I didn't have a clue how to get onto it.
Yeah. Okay, so let's discuss then what our favorite and least favorite colossi are, since there are 16 of them. There's sure to be some gems in there and some absolute shit piles.
Yeah. Actually, just before that, we never really said, like, to climb up the colossi, most of them have they are like made out of stone, or they've got like stone wrist guards or armor.
Yeah.
Or they've got fur or moss covering them, and you use your hands to grip. That was a stupid way of saying it. You climb up them. And that's basically a big part of the game. Just finding getting the colossi to lean down or something so that you can jump onto a bit of fur or like a beard in one person's case. Colossi's case. So that's one of the big aspects of the game.
Sounds like a regular weekend at a bear club. I actually I sent a Snapchat to my friend who is kind of hairy. So I sent a Snapchat of me climbing up this the hairy shoulder of one of the gorillas, and I was like, look, this guy's got shoulders like you.
I just love that you called it a gorilla.
It was like, I think it's the second last one is a gorilla ish.
The one with the bridge. Bridges you have to. Yeah. Okay. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. I think he is humanoid. The gorilla one. Yeah. So there are multiple types of colossi. There's like the quadrupeds with the four legged ones.
Yeah.
The two legged ones, humanoid.
Yeah.
Or the phallic ones and the flying ones.
Yes.
So like snakes.
There's one horse type one as well.
Yeah, it's still a quadruped. It's four legs.
Let's call it an undulate.
What?
I don't know. I'm just being stupid.
Oh. It's like, I don't know what that is. Don't use your fancy university lingo on me.
Yeah, let's only talk in Latin from now on.
Yeah. C'est la vie. Oh, no, wait, that's French.
A for effort.
Okay, anyway, so there are snakes and shit and flying birds.
Yep.
So which ones did you like? Let's start with positives. Let's go positives.
Let's start with positives. Okay. Yeah. I quite like the flying ones.
Yep.
I think there's two, isn't there? There's the one in the desert with the air sacs, which you've got to pop.
Oh, I love that one.
Big old zits, you've just got to burst so it falls down.
Yep. As a fan of like pimple popper videos on YouTube, I got a lot of satisfaction of popping those big air sacs.
Can you imagine if just a load of pus came out instead of air?
Oh, that would be my fantasy.
So amazing. Amazing, right? I can't remember what that one's called. Wait, was that one called Phalanx?
Probably.
I don't know. I've got the list up here. Apparently all the names are just like fictional and aren't actually used in the game. So we'll just call it number 13, because I think that is the one it was.
Yeah, I've just got mine says Flying Desert Snake.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. Flying Desert Snake. It's the biggest of the colossi, I think, in terms of length and wingspan. And yeah,
definitely not with girth though.
No, it's a thin it's a little flying needle up there.
You don't just want long, you want thick too.
Yeah, this one's covered in fur though.
Oh boy.
Like from tip to tip.
Oh, Jesus.
From tail to tip. So the idea of this one is once you've burst the zits, it collapses, and then you can jump on the wings. This is one of the ones where you have to use aggro to gain the speed to jump onto the wings. And it is fairly common sense. This one wasn't difficult to figure out at all, because the air sacs are pretty obvious.
Yep.
And the fact that the wings are the only thing within reach when it comes down also makes it obvious where you got to go. And from then on, all you've got to do is basically just like gradually make your way down the length of this colossized body to kill the weak, to attack the weak points.
Yeah.
So it's quite nice. It's quite nice. I like that
one. Yeah, that was definitely a favorite, because you're, despite the horse being frustrating in a lot of other situations, this is the one where like you have to use it no matter what. And they make really good use of it, because you got to catch up with it while on horseback and shoot arrows on horseback to pop the zits. And then you have to run parallel to its fins in order to, you know, gain enough speed to jump onto the fin and then climb up the fin to get to the body. So that whole experience is a lot of fun and very cinematic. So
it's very cool. And the air sacs fill up, so then you end up back in the air. And it can be pretty cool, because it's one of the ones that isn't too frustrating. Like, all the colossi will try to shake you off. So I think this one, he'll shake his body left to right a bit, and you've got a grip on. And you might do a barrel roll at times, I can't remember. But it's all very easy to see coming, so you know when to grip, and you can regain your stamina as well. So it's kind of casual, and considering it's one of the later ones, it feels very easy. But it's definitely cool.
It's almost a reward to fight this one.
It is. It's a refreshing break
from
the frustration.
Like a cucumber salad.
That's a reoccurring thing. I must have one.
It's on my mind. Okay, my turn.
So then, Adam, what's your favorite colossi?
My favorite colossi is the one that we just spoke of, but another one which I like quite a lot is the eel colossi, which is like this underwater electric eel. So very similar, same concept to phallic flying pustule colossi.
Mm-hmm.
This one, you have to wait for it to come at you while you're on the surface of the lake, and then you sort of swim out of the way, and then as its body sort of arches over, it exposes a part of its furry back. Sounds really hard. Like, sounds weird describing it like that. And then you basically just have to latch on for dear life, and then it takes you under, and then eventually, after you go on this little roller coaster ride, it will emerge to the top of the water, and then you basically just run down the length of it to these points where it has like these little spikes that shoot out electricity, and the weak points are in front of those spikes, so you have to get rid of the weak points while at the same time trying to avoid these little electric shots. So that one was a fun one, at least for me.
That one is good, and that one actually took me a while to work out, because I was really bad at timing the swimming, when like at what point you need to catch onto his tail.
Yeah, sometimes it wouldn't actually show its back, so...
Yeah, and you obviously have to wait for the... I think it's Hydrus, that's what Wiki tells me it's called, Hydrus. You have to wait for it to kind of go for its attack almost, where it goes right to the top of the water where you are. And you kind of have to dodge the electric spines, and then you can catch on to the fur at the back when he dives.
Yep.
And sometimes he wouldn't do it, and it was once you realize the kind of placement that you have to be, or when he's about to trigger the attack, that you just kind of have to learn this stuff. And I think sometimes you're just like, what am I going to do here?
Yeah. Yeah, I for any one of them that wasn't obvious enough, I did check a guide, because I didn't want to waste too much time trying to figure it out. Yes, I'm one of those gamers, but you know, if guides weren't so readily available, I wouldn't use them.
Yeah, there is some satisfaction when you work them out, but sometimes it just takes a bit too long, and sometimes the actual it's actually like the gameplay mechanics of the colossi itself just aren't working, or they aren't occurring, perhaps.
Yeah.
So it's not exactly your fault. Like you should have done this. Sometimes it's just like the game isn't doing what it should, or it's not showing you something that you need to see to be able to work out how what to do.
For every single one of them, I never used a guide to find where it was. I always found it on my own, and I always gave it at least a first attempt without using a guide. But there were a lot of instances where it just wasn't immediately obvious, and we'll talk about one of those in a minute, my least favorite.
I'm trying to think. I think, funnily enough, being that I left the game on PS2 at Colossus 4,
yep.
It was also number 4 that I had to look up again this time.
Yes.
Because the bastard wasn't doing his stupid thing.
That's definitely one of them. Is that on your list of least favorite?
No, I think once you know how to do it, it's all right. It's fine. It's actually quite easy.
Okay.
But just like without the guide, it's a little bit frustrating. So it's definitely, it's not in my favorite list without a doubt, but it's not the worst because it isn't frustrating really.
Yes.
It can be. But not
there
so
is
bad.
One that is my favorite. So, but this is one that I had to use the guide on. There's actually two of these. So, both of them are the smaller colossi, and they're like really small. And I really like them for their designs and the way that it changes up the gameplay. However, the first one that you come across, it's really obscure what you have to do to get it to expose its weak point, which is like climb up this like torch thing, wait for it to ram the torch thing, which will dislodge the torch. Then you jump down, you grab the torch, and then you jump back up, and then you set the torch on fire, then you jump back down, and then you swing it in its face until it gets scared, and then backs off down a cliff, and then falls down, and then takes its armor off. Like, it's a lot of steps that, like, aren't immediately obvious. So, I'm not saying that everything needs to be immediately obvious, but in this case, when I first tried it, I'm like, what the fuck am I supposed to do here? It didn't make any sense.
I agree, that was a fucking pain in the ass. What is helpful, and you can also turn these off, is you can get dormant hints. So if you've been playing for like too long and the game sees that you haven't done a certain thing, Dormin will say, this colossi is afraid of fire, for instance, or something along those lines.
Those are welcome.
And it's a bit of a clue.
It's kind of annoying though, because
I turned them off because I thought they were like patronizing me, like, bitch, I know what I'm doing, I'm just taking my time at it, all right?
You know, there was this one where it was, it's the second last one, and he's like, try and get to a higher area. I'm like, I am trying to get to a higher area, but, and then
it
was
a goddamn long time, that one.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, you have to be in a certain spot and wait for the colossi to use a certain attack.
That's another one where I have issues with the fact that you can't just climb the last tower straight away.
Yeah.
Like, you, for that one, for instance, you have to climb these towers, which the little colossi will ram and they'll collapse. And because it's collapsed, at a certain point, you can then just about make the jump onto the next tower, which you then have to make the colossi collapse, and so on and so on. It's just platforming from one to the next until it eventually you get to like the actual fighting arena. This takes a goddamn long time, but you can't speed it up. And these towers, like, you can definitely climb them from the floor, for God's sake.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not the worst. It's not the worst. Once you know what to do, it's fine.
All right, so did you have any other favorites before we move on to least, like actual least favorites?
I probably do. I mean, they were both the flying ones. I do quite like the one over the lake where you have to just, it flies straight at you really fast. You have to jump onto the wing. I just thought that was really cool.
I did like that one as well.
It can be a bit frustrating swinging back to the platform when you fall off, but because the act of gripping on to a flying beast is so cool, I forgive it.
Yeah,
for the frustrating aspects of it. But I think everything else. Oh, I like the scaler, the one in the kind of gladiator arena.
Okay,
that was pretty cool. It's one of the smaller ones. It kind of shoots fire at you. It's interesting. It's not very hard. In fact, I think it's probably one of the easiest ones. But my least favorite, I have a few. One would actually be the two quadrupeds, the two small ones. I don't like them, and I don't like this aspect of the game where, like, a good portion of the fighting and taking on the colossi is just holding R2.
Yeah.
And it's because these things move around so quick, and to hit the, to actually get a strike on the monster, an effective strike, you have to be still hold square for a certain point until the until you're powered out, basically, to get the full strike, so you can deal max damage. On these small ones, they move so quick that it's just kind of impossible, and then you have to kind of just redo these elements, like you have to knock it out or something. And it's just very frustrating. I hate games where you don't really have much gameplay to do other than just holding a button. And another thing with the small ones, which I find a little bit unforgivable, to be honest, is the fact that you can be in an endless repetition of being knocked on the floor.
That was very frustrating.
And Wanda takes like 10 seconds to get up when he's been knocked over, and then you try and roll out the way when this Colossi comes and rams you.
He's slower than Yoda from Ego.
And the actual the hit detection is a little bit off with some of those small ones, and like, it definitely doesn't hit you, but it does hit you, apparently.
Yeah,
that is a bit frustrating. And it's like all of these Colossi, when it works smoothly, you think, yeah, this is fine, but it just so often and more often than not fucks you up so much. And yeah, that was one of my least favorite times. I can't remember what it was called or what number it was, but there's the one where you have to get it to stand over some geezers.
Oh, damn it, because that was going to be my one.
Well, you can talk about it. Okay. I've talked about the little one. Go on that one.
But hang on, just on the smaller ones as well, I can understand why they frustrate you so much, and I agree. They're only my favorite because they're small and cute and different.
That's fair enough. They definitely are small and cute and different.
And I wanted to give them a little hug.
Yeah, they are quite cute. I could put a little leash on them and just walk with them.
Yes.
Be like, roll over, Fido. Kill that man, Fido. Fido is the go-to stupid dog thing.
All right, so the geezers. I call this one the turtle one. So it's just this like shitty turtle looking thing that lives in this lake bed that has a bunch of geysers that spit out water and shit. And in order to knock it down, you have to lure it on horseback to stand over a geyser and then wait for the geyser to basically ejaculate and knock it over. Not even that. Like, it goes down to like two knees on one side, and then you have to, I think you need to aim your arrows to the underside of its feet or something, and then it does like this little weird rollover thing. But maneuvering it to actually get in place was incredibly annoying because it shoots projectiles at you the entire time, and it's really hard to dodge them, especially on horseback with the shitty controls and the camera.
Yeah, they are really hard. Yeah,
so annoying. And also, when you do get it into place, it's not a surefire thing that it will stay there until the geyser erupts. So there are times where it'll be standing exactly where you need it to stand, and then it will take a few steps away, and then the geyser erupts, and then it doesn't do the thing that needs to do to knock it over because it's fucking moved already. So
yeah, and also you have to be pretty precise with where you've positioned it, because if the geyser erupts and it's like slightly off center, like it's not on its belly, then nothing will happen.
Like, it could be hitting it, but it still doesn't knock it over.
Yeah, it's like it has a very ticklish spot. And if it's anywhere else around it, then it just doesn't affect it. So yeah, that's definitely irritating, and I spent way too long
on
that.
I would call that one probably my most unfavorite. That's not a word.
Honestly, I just think it's boring, because even once you get on it, it's quite easy. You just kind of climb up the shell and hit the head, and it's easy peasy.
Yeah,
it's just a bit boring trying to lure it onto this particular spot, shoot the goddamn feet, and yeah, it's not like that interesting.
No, not at all. Alright, the only other one that comes to mind is there's the snake that burrows underground. That one was slightly frustrating until I got the hang of it.
The desert one?
Yes. You have to like...
Yeah. Yeah, I did have a few issues with that, particularly on my hard playthrough, and I'm not sure if that's because they changed the speed at which it attacks you or something like that, because I didn't have trouble with it on my normal playthrough, but on hard it seems like once you've struck the eye or it only comes up and gives you opportunity to hit the eye like once, or they've shortened that time, so if you if you shoot one shot and you miss, then it's going to attack you and you've missed your chance. You have to wait for it to come around again. Yep. Yeah, it's just a bit time consuming.
The part that I ran into an issue with was because you're supposed to lure it on horseback, you hold down the L2 button to center the camera on the Colossus so you get a chance to make the shot. But you're essentially, the camera is immediately behind, facing away from the horse. So you don't know where the horse is running. And there were certain times where I kept running along, trying to aim my arrow to shoot this Colossus in the eye. And then the horse would run directly into a rock or a wall. And I was like, for fuck's sake, aggro, can't you just like move or something? A real horse wouldn't run into a wall for no reason.
I blame the devs for just putting those pillars in there. They should just got rid of them. Had a big open hall.
Yeah, like...
take out any obstruction, please.
I would have no problem with that. And I would be thankful for it, even if it made it look a little barren. Who cares? Just make it like an open space where I don't have to worry about running into things. Because the one with the geysers, that was an open space and there was no problems there.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, there were problems there, but not related to running into things.
Different problems. Yeah.
Massive problems.
I mean, visually, though, that arena is really cool. And it definitely reminded me a whole lot of the area in Monster Hunter World where you fight the Diabolos, which you may not have seen, but it's very cool. It's just like that. It was proper reminiscent of it to me. Yes.
Okay, so do you have any other least favorite, or should we move on to the story spoilers?
I will add one more to the least favorite, okay. And that is the final Colossus.
Shit. I blocked that one from my memory. Yeah.
Yeah. That one is a joke.
The skirt Colossus. This
one is the epitome of platforming in the game. It's... well, actually, you have to kind of avoid its goddamn projectiles at first. I almost forgot about that. We have to run through a series of chambers, underground chambers, to get close to this Colossi. And admittedly, when you first see the Colossus, it's like, holy shit, this is pretty damn intimidating.
Yeah.
The actual setting is awesome. But once you realize it's just kind of stuck, it's chained to the ground, and you have to get to it, and then just climb up its big old armored skirt, hit the weak point, so it kind of does these set moves, which are all just intended for you to get to the top. It's a little bit just... anticlimactic and frustrating because you can so easily fall off.
There is
off.
This funny thing though, like you, when you're running away from all its projectiles, you wind up going into this tunnel and then popping up right underneath its skirt. So like I just have like this image in my head and you just like look up and see this giant colossi dong hanging there. Like you're under someone's kilt. And he's a true Scotsman.
Yeah. That's why they just don't give you full control of the camera. Imagine if the weak point was just like on his dick.
Shoot an arrow through his piss hole. Swim into his urethra. Like one of those fish in the Philippines.
You have to just like stab him in the balls so he kills over so you can climb up him. But that one, it's one where you have to learn what to do, and it's just not very fun. I find it too frustrating. And it's a problem with the camera as well, where the camera twists out of the way so you can't quite aim the jumping as well as you would, and sometimes you might miss.
Yeah,
like you might have to jump to his hand.
I fell many times, like jumping from his back to his hand, and then from his hand to his arm to his arm to his other hand. And like just the angle of the cameras doesn't show you the distance between you and the hand that you need to jump on. And four or five times, possibly even more than that, I completely missed the jump and fell off and had to start climbing his skirt again. So annoying.
Yeah, really not an enjoyable one.
And the weak points were really obscure. Like if I didn't use the guide, I wouldn't know what to do.
I got stuck where you had, on the bit where you had to shoot his shoulder.
Yeah,
I didn't have a clue what I had to do.
Yeah, because you could in the first time you're on his other hand, he moves his hand in a way which allows you to stand up long enough to regain stamina and then run up his forearm to his bicep, and then once you like stab him in the bicep, his other hand comes up and then you jump onto that one, but this one doesn't stay still long enough for you to stand up on it, and I couldn't figure out what the hell I was supposed to do, because this was my second time, mind you. The first time I beat this Colossus, I used a guide. This time around, I was like, oh, I don't need a guide. And I completely forgot that you actually have to stab the back of his hand long enough, like stab his hand so he would hold it steady. And there's no weak point or marker or anything on his hand that shows you that you need to do that. So if you're uninformed and not using a guide, you would have no idea that that's what you have to do in order to get his hand to hold still enough for you to stand up and shoot his shoulder.
Yeah, because he just continually moves it and twists it around, so you can't ever stay still. Yeah. And your stamina's constantly going down, and you're thinking like, oh, fuck, man, if I fall off, I'm going to have to climb up him again. Yep. It's going to take ages, and I'm going to get stuck again. And that's it's not a very good design element. I think bad job, devs. It's not a good choice.
Yeah.
And almost once you kind of get to the first weak point, it feels like it felt just like a giant set piece, like a giant quick time event, just without the actual
like a God of War boss.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Except for God of War boss, like, would have just been like press X. Oh,
yeah.
Tap X. It would have been easy.
X and then press square.
Yeah, and rip off his head, and it would have been hilarious and fun. Yeah. But no, there's none of that, and it's very odd.
Yep. Odd. All right. Well,
that's our rundown of the good, the bad, and the good.
Okay, so story-wise, we always talk about spoilers towards the end. We can probably make this one a bit quick.
Yeah.
So there's not much or too much here. It does tie in with Eco in a way. Although I do have a question that I need to ask you after we explain what the story is. Okay. So this is the spoiler warning if you haven't played the game and you intend to play it. Although, having said that, since it's been out since 2005, if you get spoiled at this point, it's kind of your own fault.
Yeah, and besides, it's not the main part of the game, so you still
and
enjoy
I've seen
the
this
game.
Pop up on like a million top 10 lists about ooh twists in video games.
Yeah, it's used,
and so. I don't even particularly find this twist to be that revolutionary or impressive, but
we're just hard to please.
Yeah. We're very hard to please.
Yeah.
So Wanda, he is being told by Dorman to go and kill all these colossi. So Dorman is like this evil entity, like a devil figure or whatever. And then some shaman from yonks ago went ahead and cut him up into 16 pieces and then sealed those pieces into the colossi to keep them safe. And the colossi are supposed to defend these pieces. You go ahead and kill all the colossi and then all the pieces come back together. And then the shaman dude like rocks up at the end and he's like, oh no, what have you done? And Dorman takes over your body and you turn into this giant shadowy monster, and then you try and, you know, kill the shaman. Doesn't work. The shaman gets out of there, and then he basically like throws the magic sword into this puddle of water, and then it sucks you into the puddle of water, and then Mono wakes up from the dead and then goes to where the...
We haven't said who Mono is.
Huh?
Have we said who Mono
is?
Yeah,
she's a girl.
I'm not sure if we ever said that.
Though. Okay. Well, her name is Mono. She's named after the kissing disease. you might have met her sister Stereo, but she was born in the 80s.
I needed a little klaxon horn or something. Yeah.
So anyway, the chick wakes up, goes to the vortex, and then there is a little baby you with little horns on it, just like Eco from Eco. Dun dun dun.
Yeah, so does this mean like this is like the start of the cursed horned children?
Yes.
This is where the race began.
Yes.
I think that's what's implied. Yeah.
So that's what the implication is. And obviously the twist of Dorman being evil, I saw coming a mile away.
Well, it's just the tone of the voice is very sinister. The black shadows that fill up your body after you've killed a colossus. It's, you know. It's all
black
very
equals
ominous.
Bad, white equals good. Wait a minute.
Fact that when...
Don't take that soundbite out of context, please. I'm talking about like, you know, visual metaphors in films.
yes. It's light and dark.
Yeah, my bad.
Good and bad. Yeah, I mean, even at the start where Wanda calls out to Dorman to try and save Mono, he says, you have to slay these beasts, but it will pay, you will have to pay a huge price. So it's obviously something bad coming.
Yeah, and to be fair, he held up his end of the bargain. Yeah, she came back from the dead.
You can't really fault Dorman too much.
Yeah. And so there's an implication as well that Mono is also the queen in Ico. That's a fan theory. I don't think it's ever been confirmed or not.
Right, okay.
Something to do with the curse that Dorman put upon her or whatever.
Right, I did read about that.
Yeah.
That
I think it's just a fan theory.
Yeah, it is. It's like that she was cursed from the get-go. Yeah. And it turns out that the curse is that she will be saved by Dormin and will become the queen. So it's kind of like ironic that you saved her.
Yeah, and then basically the shaman who killed her in the first place is the one that made the prophecy happen, because that's what caused Wanda to go on this adventure and try and get her back from the dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the story. The whole sort of setup about that is that it's supposed to bring into question whether or not you are the good guy or the bad guy. So did you feel like you were the good guy or the bad guy?
Yeah, I see a lot about this,
yeah,
where people are kind of upset about killing the Colossi because they see it as a majestic beast that's doing no harm to anyone and has been alone for thousands of years, and you're just coming along here and, you know, stab it in the head and killing it. But
well, hang on, let me pose you another question then. So this is a two-part question.
Okay.
Right. Do you think you are the bad guy? And second part of the question is, do you feel sorry for the Colossus?
Okay, no and no.
Okay.
I think you are just, you're just a bit of a, I guess like a love-struck boy who wants to save the girl.
Yeah.
And the way you do that, you're not really thinking about the actual things that are going to happen. So you might be doing a bad thing, but I don't think these intentions are bad.
Yeah.
And for the Colossus, I think because you find out that they are not actually living animals or entities, whatever, they are just vessels filled with this evil god, that killing them isn't... I don't feel sorry for the Colossi because they are just dormant.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They are just reanimated things that don't actually have a soul. Something along these lines.
Yeah.
It's not like killing a really, really old, one-of-a-kind...
German Shepherd.
...rare species. German, yeah. Shepherd, yeah. Exactly. It is actually just an entity filled with an evil thing. So releasing it is bad, but killing the Colossi, no, I don't feel too sad.
You basically like took everything that I was going to say as well, because I agree with you. It annoys me that people are like, oh no, you're the bad guy in Shadow of the Colossus. I'm like, no, you're not the bad guy. Dormin is the bad guy. Dormin is the one that took advantage of the hero. So it's not like you're evil or anything. You're just doing something out of a want to bring back somebody that you care about, which I think is a noble aspiration.
Yeah, I think it's just a little bit like misguided and just unfortunate.
Yeah.
That he probably didn't mean to release this evil,
yeah,
entity.
So I don't think he's the bad guy, and I also have zero sympathy for the Colossus. I could not care less. They don't exhibit any type of emotion.
Yeah. You look in their eyes and they are just...
empty.
It's just empty.
Yeah.
Empty vessels.
They remind me more of like a golem or something. Like an inanimate object, even though they have like biological qualities, like a lot of them are made out of stone, so I see them more as like golems that are just vessels,
yeah,
as well.
It's just like a pre-programmed robot.
Yeah. Some of them are super cute, but I don't feel bad for killing them because they don't ever express themselves in a way which exhibits any sort of higher intelligence. They just kind of look like an animal. And I have no problem killing animals.
Quite agree.
Yeah.
Quite agree. And most of them do.
Do you agree with killing animals?
Absolutely, man. I'm all for it. Me, the big vegan. That's me. I will kill all the animals. But no, and also another argument that I hear is that half of these, or like a lot of them, just won't. They don't attack you. You have to kind of start the fight.
Yeah.
But that's not true at all.
Yeah.
You just kind of enter their area and they just start trying to kill you.
Yep.
So that argument does not fly with me.
Yeah, totally agree. All you have to do is be there, and you don't even have to. For most of them, you don't even shoot an arrow at them and they already start attacking you. I think the only one that you initiate the fight with is the first Colossus, because it's got its back to you.
Yeah, just walking away from
you. Yeah. And that's probably because it just didn't even see you. If it saw you, it probably would have attacked you.
And it's carrying a massive club. It's designed to kill.
Yeah. Or it's designed to party.
It's actually just a massive glow stick. Just Dorman out here on the DJ.
I kept calling Dorman Dormammu, which is like this character in fucking Marvel. Because it's... And I didn't even realize I was doing it. I'm like, oh yeah, Dormammu like pops out. And then I realized I think he's the bad guy that Doctor Strange fights in those movies, but yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not too bad. I just kept on hearing Dorman. That's just not cool at all.
Yeah, and Agro, I kept calling Argo, because like when you press the button to call the horse over, it kind of sounds like Wanda goes, Argo! Argo!
Argo!
Argo!
Argo!
So I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, I hear that. That's an easy mistake.
Yeah. Anyway, that's a little fun fact. Yeah. I think I'm done. I don't think I have anything else to talk about.
We haven't spoken about the music. We should mention
that. Oh, yes. Good point. We talked about the graphics. The graphics are beautiful. The music is also top-notch. Far, far, far yes. superior to Eco in every way possible.
Literally every single way possible. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I particularly like how they've done some of the music. Like with the... When you have the final stab on a Colossi, the music just dies.
Yep. And then I think it's sort of like freeze frames as well.
Yeah, that's very cool. I love that. Mm-hmm. But the music itself is very nice. The how it changes once you actually start climbing onto a Colossi. It doesn't feel disjointed or like cut, you know. It's very smoothly flows into one and you don't really see a transition, and it's very nice.
Yeah, it's like a dynamic change.
That's the good way of saying it.
I think that's what it's called, because they do something similar in Nier Automata. Where so like you'll have the background music of the level, and then as soon as a fight happens, the same music plays, but it kind of it's like a secondary background track kicks in, which is like higher tempo. So it's like this dynamic shift in the tempo of the song. It's hard to explain, but
Once you exactly know it as soon as you've heard the change. It's very cool and it works.
It's really like a professional DJ dropping a second track.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a thing that they do apparently at the clubs.
At the clubs. You'd have to ask the kids. I don't know. Ask the Colossi.
Ask Colossi number one with his club. He knows how to drop a diss track.
But yeah, the music is top notch. Can't fault it, really.
Yeah. Yeah, same. From the beginning, the opening cinematic and onwards, it's perfect. Like, I have no complaints about it whatsoever. Even the parts where there are no songs or music and it's just, like, ambient noise, that works perfectly for the barren landscape. I feel like that's what they were trying to do with Eco, but...
It's what Eco should have been.
Exactly. That's, like, this is what they were going for and they finally achieved it here. So...
Yeah. Well, I guess that's a sign of progress and them just learning and working out what works best. So, like... Assuming this, I can hope that The Last Guardian has perfected it even more, but I don't think I'll play that anytime soon.
I wouldn't actually mind playing that, but I kind of want to break from Team Eco games for a while, because I have heard that The Last Guardian suffers from a lot of the same problems, which is like mechanically, like game design-wise, Team Eco hasn't really matured to a modern level. So,
well, they took, 10 years to... get that game out, so we can take 10 years to wait before we play
it. All right, fair call.
In 2030 we'll review and do a podcast on The Last Guardian.
I think 2028. I think it came out 2018. Okay. Maybe
2018. Yeah, it might have been. Yeah. 2016 or 18, one of those, I think.
All right, I'll add it to my calendar on my iPhone that in 2028 or 2026 or whatever year it's supposed to be, we will do Last Guardian.
Yeah, that's if we're not all dead then, which is probably quite likely.
Yeah, true. I do make some pretty terrible choices in my life, so.
So overall, death aside, would you recommend this game?
Well, I would recommend it for somebody who hasn't played it and got the game free on PS Plus, who is aware of its history. So I would say give it a go. It's a short game. You don't have to play it more than once if you don't want to, unless you want to get trophies, and it can easily be beaten in 5 hours or less. So give it a try, find out what all the fuss is about. I personally really enjoyed it. I wouldn't recommend it to somebody who wants to play like a good game, in the sense that, like, hear me out. In the sense that, like, you know, when somebody comes to you for a game recommendation, your mind immediately goes to, like, the AAA games or maybe underappreciated games that you know are fantastic. My mind would not go to Shadow of the Colossus. I would recommend other games over this one.
Yeah. I think I'm on the same sort of mindset there.
Yeah.
I would definitely recommend it. It's worth experiencing. There are some really good parts of the game, especially if you've got it free from PS Plus. You've got no excuse.
Absolutely.
It's for like 5 hours of your time. It's worth doing. You know, just so you can watch these lists and be like, ah, I understand now.
Yeah.
But yeah. And I mean, if you can get it cheap, like I would say, if you can get it less than like 20 quid or whatever your currency is, wherever you are,
I would say $15. You know,
$15 Australian dollars, or like, yeah, 15 quid. That's a fair price, and it's probably worth it.
Yeah.
But agreed, it's perhaps because of the game time, the fact that it's not like a huge story or anything there, it's not going to be for everyone, and there are better games out there that are worth more of your money and time.
Yes.
But definitely worth experiencing.
Well put.
Thank you.
Yeah, and do not play Eco. You don't have to play that game to understand what this game is about.
No, it's true. Watch like a short retrospective on YouTube of Eco.
Yep.
Don't play it.
Some sort of like lore video to find out how the story ties in with Shadow of the Colossus is all you need.
Yes.
To get any sort of appreciation of it. And
it's all speculation anyway.
Yeah. I would even argue that those speculative videos are probably more entertaining than playing Eco itself. I can't believe I'm still talking about that game. Like, I need to stop talking about that game. I'm having, like, PTSD. Yeah. Never mind. Just play Shadow of the Colossus if you want to. Don't play Eco. End of story.
End of story. We'll end it there.
Okay. So, you can find us on Twitter at Bad Backlog. I've downloaded the app now and I have made some tweets.
I haven't checked. Holy shit.
Yeah, I've been tweeting at people.
Good day. I'll check them later.
Some of your friends who follow our account, I've been tweeting at them and sending them nudes. Not really. I've been trying to get some attention. It's not really working, but
perseverance, it will pay off eventually.
Yeah, I hate being that kind of person that's like, oh, look at us, we need attention. That's not really my jam. I kind of just wish that we could like make this and then send it out into the ocean in a wicker basket and have people find it and enjoy
it. People will just find it.
Yeah, like, yeah, if you make it, they will come. Or
that's the thing. I like to think that if we just continually do these episodes, if you make it, people will come. Just heard what you said. But yeah, man, if we just have like a good amount of quality content, whatever sort of quality, low quality or medium, that's what we're going for.
Yeah.
People will eventually find it if we just have hundreds and hundreds of episodes.
I'm sure at some point. Oh, I have. I've gotten into Reddit lately, so I'm thinking about maybe promoting this a little bit on Reddit. But
oh man, that could end badly.
Yeah, I'm trying to
dodgy old place.
I'm trying to do like a sly sort of like backdoor promotion. That's pretty bad.
Okay.
But like, oh, hey, I like, you know, this game too. Oh, we just did this game on the podcast if you're interested.
Me and my friend just spoke about this. Whoops, I've just put the link to it. How did that get there?
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, subtle.
All right, so plans for future episodes. So here's the deal. Next week we are going to be doing the... Is it full motion video?
Yeah, I think so. Or like an interactive movie sort of thing. Yeah.
So the live action full motion video movie thing that was free release on PSN recently called Erica. Very short. But the reason why we're doing this is because the following week we are intending to do an episode on Horizon Zero Dawn. So as that game is bigger, we need a little bit more time to finish it. But hopefully we will. If not, we might need to do another short one the week after that and then delay Horizon by another week. But fingers crossed, that's the plan so far. And we're going to try and stick to it. So look forward to it.
Yes. Yeah, and we've decided now to release the episodes. We've kind of going to stick to the schedule of releasing them on Friday morning. We're going for your Australian time period, Friday morning?
Yeah, that might change to Thursday night. I don't know.
So, yeah. Think we'll stick to that schedule, or will
yeah,
we?
Yeah, it'll... You can expect an episode on either Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, depending on which time zone you're in. How does that sound?
And how efficient we are.
Yeah. I think it would be pretty good to stick to, so I'm pretty confident we can do that.
Yep, I agree. Cool. Let's do that.
All right. So, anything else? Or should we wrap this sucker up?
We should just thank our sponsors. Gillette, the best a man can get. Thank you for sponsoring us for this episode.
Yep.
It was really handy. I've got a lifetime supply of shavers. We'll do a giveaway with some of them later in the year. They've all been used. You can have some of my stubble.
Yep. And I'd like to thank our other sponsor, Dr. Seisman's Heavy Duty Silicone Lube for anal pleasure.
Yep. And I would like to thank my plunger for being able to unclog the toilet that we mentioned earlier on.
And I would also like to thank hydrocortisone cream for clearing up that rash on the knob of my penis.
You've just taken it one step too far, man.
Not far enough. All right, thank you, and see you next week.
Farewell.
Goodbye.